Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Barry Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, Jesus told his disciples that deception would be the greatest mark of the end days. Well, ever think about that, ladies and gentlemen, that deception, what it is? You know, we hear the word fake news. We've talked about it here, fake news. We witness lies and big lies nearly every day, even brought to the forefront by many even yesterday who promised in their campaigns to eliminate Obamacare, and then they refused to vote for it when they had the chance. These kinds of things happen all the time. This is deception. Well, today we're going to talk about deception, and we're going to talk about master deceivers. And we're going to give some clear examples of how a master deceiver is embodied within the ideology of Islam, and how that is deceiving many, many in this world and right here in our own nation. We're going to talk about the Muslim connection to this whole issue of wanting to tear down our monuments. And there is a connection. We're going to share with you how Islam, on one hand, can work with the LGBT community in this country, but in another country is actually rounding them up as we speak with intent to kill them. That's right. Then we're going to discuss and really address the, what I'm calling the big deception, actually being stated by some Muslim leaders. Now get this, that Muslims love Jesus more than Christians. That's right. Muslims love Jesus more than Christians. Well, is that truth or is that deception? We're going to talk about these in segments 2 to 4 here today with our special guest, former Muslim imam, Egyptian-born Dr. Mark Christian, who is also the executive director of Global Faith Institute, which can be found at globalfaithinstitute.org. And with that, I welcome you to the program today. I'm Sam Rohr. I'm going to be joined by Dave Kistler, and if our technical issues can be worked out, by Isaac Crockett here on Stand in the Gap today. In this first segment, before we get into this deception issue, I want to talk about something really big that happened yesterday in the state of Alabama, a runoff for the primary with the general to be held now in December between two notable individuals. One, Roy Moore, who was the Chief Justice of the state of Alabama there, and another individual, Luther Strange, who had been appointed by the governor to fill the temporary position left vacated by Senator Jeff Sessions, who is now serving as our U.S. Attorney General. And we've had one of those candidates on this radio before he was a candidate, actually, Judge Roy Moore. And Dave, you know him, I know him as an individual, a great man, but I want to get your perspective on it, because despite personal appearances by the president and Vice President Pence down there yesterday and past days lobbying for Luther Strange, Roy Moore won by over 10 points. It was amazing. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, Sam, let me say this right out of the chute. The people of Alabama are very wise people, okay? I just don't know any other way to say it. They love Roy Moore. You know, he was actually kicked out of office over his Ten Commandments display about 12 years ago, and then as a result of his telling probate judges in Alabama not to allow same-sex marriage licenses to be issued in the state of Alabama because of Alabama's amendment to their constitution defining marriage between a man and a woman. And there's a little more to the story than that, but that's the gist of it. The Southern Poverty Law Center complained again, and he was removed from office. But now he has run for the Senate after being kicked out of his position as Chief Justice. And he has won the nomination handily. It's because the people of Alabama know him. They love him, Sam. And I will say this, he is going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal addition to the United States Senate if he wins the general election coming up in December. Because of the makeup of Alabama, it's a very conservative state. In fact, one of the most conservative in the nation. My guess would be this, not only will he win against the Democrat, he will win by much larger numbers than he won the primary.
I think so. Isaac, I think you're on. Now, I don't know if you were following that race or not yesterday, but last night, after it was clear that the race had been won, in fact, by Roy Moore, the other side had conceded, in some of the closing comments, acceptance speech pretty much from Roy Moore, he did a phenomenal thing, in my opinion. He did not attack the president. He did not attack the vice president of saying those nasty guys because they were down here lobbying for my opponent. Instead, he said, very conciliatory, I understand, you know, what happened and so forth, and but let not their support of my opponent make anybody believe that my support for the president and his policies don't exist or are less because of what happened. Those are amazing things. You have any thoughts on the character of what that says about the character of somebody who responds that way?
Yes. You know, when I heard him say that, I thought that's what is needed in our country. That's what the Republican Party needs. We need that unity where we can see where we do agree, even if it wasn't, you know, always on everything we wanted, but see that we do agree on the main things and work together and get something done. And far too long we've had gridlock in D.C. instead of unity.
It is. And matter of fact, Dave, I'm going to go back to you because the media and even the establishment, now Luther Strange was a Republican establishment candidate. I don't know what kind of deal the president was trying to work with him, probably something with Mitch McConnell, but it didn't work out. And part of it was that a guy like Luther Strange was actually going to be able to bring pieces together instead of Roy Moore, because the media likes to call Roy Moore as a firebrand, which sounds like a bomb ready to go off, because he does not bend on his matters of principle. But those kind of responses that he has actually are conciliatory, as we talked about. They're not firebrand statements. And Dave, do you think we need that kind of firebrand? Let's put it that way. If Roy Moore is a firebrand, is that the kind of firebrand we need in D.C. today?
Sam, if it is, it's precisely what we need. And let me just say this about Roy Moore. If you ever meet him, you know, the media's tried to portray him as being all kinds of things. He's not firebrand, you know, country bumpkin. He is anything but. He is one of the most intelligent, in fact, one of the most brilliant men I've ever met in my life. I've sat in his office on a number of occasions. He's quoted entire pages of Blackstone's Law as we talked about some of the issues that Blackstone comments on. This man is eminently qualified to be in the Senate. He is a man with an incredibly gracious temperament. Or sitting here, Sam, looking at a message that came in from one of my friends who had the opportunity to drive him around the state of Washington a number of years ago. And his comments about Roy Moore was this: he is an incredible man, an amazing person. Our Senate will be all the better because of him. And on and on and on he goes. And that is precisely what I've seen in my interactions with this incredible gentleman.
I agree, Dave, and I think that we should be very thankful. Ladies and gentlemen, if you like real patriots, real constitutional committed individuals who know God and fear God, pray for this man, Roy Moore, as the election comes up. I think we witnessed something really remarkable yesterday in Alabama. All right, when we come back, we're going to get into this matter of deception. We're going to talk about the memorial deception. Why do American Muslims want statues and memorials completely destroyed? We're going to talk about that when we come back as we bring in our guest, Dr. Mark Christian, former Muslim imam.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either. And that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, do you all remember the, what seems now like old history, but the very sorry display of anarchy and rebellion in Charlottesville, Virginia, back in August? Well, hurricanes and other events may have tended to overshadow this event, but the ramifications of that event continue to this day, continue in the forms of division, anger, and calls for destruction of memorials and monuments and a host of things by people committed to, frankly, anarchy. Yet in the middle of these supremacist-type groups, one group kept a very low profile, but they were vitally connected in that situation in Virginia and what is happening and unfolding since then. They made themselves known, not during that event, but subsequent to it, and that came in the form of their rabid call for the removal of all monuments. And they are none other than American Muslims, led by the leader of the American Islamic effort to overthrow the United States. That's correct, exactly what it is. CARE, the Council on American and Islamic Relations, a front group for the terrorist organization, the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, to help us better understand what Muslim theology says about memorials and why every American must know why these folks are involved and how their hatred for the United States and all it stands for is unfolding before our very eyes, is going to be our special guest, Dr. Mark Christian. He's a former Muslim imam, born in Egypt, with family members, actually a part of the original Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. He's also the executive director of the Global Faith Institute and of website globalfaithinstitute.org. And with that, I welcome you, Dr. Mark Christian, to Stand in the Gap today. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me, and it's an honor to be on your show and with your fellow listeners and hosts.
Well, Mark, it's a pleasure to have you on because, again, you came from the inside. You know this. You actually knew the ideology, and as an imam, you actually knew and memorized sufficiently of the Quran and the teachings of Muhammad that it actually put you in that position. But let me go immediately here because there's some things we want to cover in this segment, in the next one, that are critically important. So I ask all of our listeners right now, all of you, listen very carefully because this is going to be stuff you've not heard before, most likely. On August the 15th, an article was written by Eric Owens in the Daily Caller, where he cited the statements of the executive director of CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, a fellow named Nahad Awad, who said this, that all Confederate statues should be torn down. According to Awad, this is his statement, listen to it, quote, a fitting response to the deadly terror attack on anti-racist protesters in Charlottesville. He said the best thing to be would be for officials in states and cities nationwide to immediately announce that every street, every school, every flag, and every public memorial honoring those who took up arms in defense of white supremacy and slavery will be removed or have its name changed to instead honor those who fought for civil rights. Now, end quote. Now, my question to you is this. This statement, at first blush, careful reading, but it sounds innocent. It sounds rather pious until you look a little bit deeper. Mark, I'm asking you, what teachings of Islam would inspire CARE to recommend that all aspects of monuments and everything to do in this case should be torn down, removed from schools, removed from public squares? Why would they be doing that? And is there perchance any relationship to the fact that they were so thorough, ISIS was so thorough in destroying memorial sites and churches and all that when they invaded Syria and Iraq? Put these pieces together for us, please.
You're absolutely right. You know, Nihad Awad is leading an organization that pretend to be a civil rights organization that is looking out for the Muslims in America and try to advocate for the rights and so forth. So he is pretending to be a human rights advocate. And his statements to the naive and to those who are not really understanding the times that we live in, it seems like he's standing in solidarity with other human rights activists to try to push for social justice and so forth. But the reality, all of that is completely false and not based on any truth whatsoever. Because if you look at how Islam, number one, treats and look at slavery, Islam till today cannot condemn slavery in any way for shape possible, because Muhammad did not, and they stopped at Muhammad and his sayings, and they cannot add to it. The other thing is the Muslim Brotherhood organizations, which is CARE, is one of the main organizations of the Muslim Brotherhood in America, put in a statement that was recovered in the Holland Foundation that they will destroy our nation and our house by our hands. And when you see his statement, it is throwing gas on fire to burn down the house from within. They are using the civil unrest, using the situation that is going on in America, and maybe they actually they are instigating it and starting it altogether. We don't know that, but we can see very clearly that you see the Muslim Brotherhood at every corner when there is something going on that is destroying America from within. It is not only Nihad Awad, but you can also see Linda Sarsour and others who have been part of pushing the Antifa, condemning and, you know, naming people like neo-Nazis and ultra-light and all the kind of stuff that they are using on a regular basis. Basically, for the naive, you can actually look at those words as very, very supportive to social justice, but they are destroying our house by our own hands, as they have declared.
Mark, this is Dave. I just came back from Capitol Hill, got in early this morning, and on the south side of Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. is the headquarters of CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations. There is now constant activity going on there, and we had a guest on who himself was a former Muslim just very recently who said what CARE is attempting to do in encouraging the removal of these memorials is try to link Christianity, just solely Christianity, with slavery, and then run, I'm speaking of CARE and the Muslim Brotherhood, run as far away as they possibly can from any connection to slavery whatsoever. Now, you've already alluded to this. Islam is directly connected historically in its 1,400 years of history with slavery itself. So this is really the consummate form of hypocrisy, is it not?
You're absolutely right. It's hypocrisy and actually ignorance. People who do not know their history, and then they can easily be deceived. There is lots of slogans about that, but those are not just slogans, they are truth. When you don't know your history, you are condemned to repeat it and to be dying by the same evil that has destroyed other nations. You know, if you look at the history of slavery, you see that Islam has really advocated for slavery from early on. You know, many Muslims try to deceive the West by quoting a couple of statements of Islam that talks about Muhammad encouraged freeing the slaves. But later on, Muhammad abrogated all of those statements, as he abrogated many other things and many other peaceful activities that he was espousing, and later on became a very violent, a warlord man, and that is the Islam that stands today. And during his life and right afterwards and for many, many centuries after Muhammad, slavery was the center of Islamic propagation and invasion and news and all that kind of stuff. Islam never condemned slavery. As a matter of fact, if you look at the current Muslim countries, they still hire people from the Far East and from other places and treat them as slaves and using the teachings and the sayings of Muhammad to treat those servants that they work for them as slaves and justify that in their own mind. So Islam never condemned slavery. Islam is the one who pushed for slavery throughout the ages. And if you read in history, you will find that at some point in time, the Roman Empire tried to abolish slavery. And this is kind of a statement that many people are not aware of it, but by the rise of Islam, slavery became a huge, big thing in Europe. And it was only America that started to abolish slavery.
Wow. In thought of that, with these memorials that they're trying to destroy and trying to cover this up, also, is there a connection between that and the hostility towards our American flag and our national anthem and the hostility even towards our veterans? Do you think that there might be a connection with all of that and the destruction of these memorials?
Absolutely. You know, the destruction of the memorials has nothing to do with the Civil War and social justice. If you want to bring social justice today, it has nothing to do with the American history. You need to do what you can do today. But, you know, if you look at, we just had a president who was an African-American. We had lots of people in his administration that were African-American. We have one of the most wealthy people in America right now are African-American. So we need to build on, you know, the the success that America already brought into the social justice and equality between all human beings. But going back to the Civil War and to the monuments and the statues and so forth has nothing to do with social justice, but bringing America down on its knees. And you can see, like, the events of last week, it was not a coincidence that all of a sudden it's not about the Confederate flag anymore, but it's about the American flag itself. It is about the Union itself. So bringing down memorials, bringing down the Confederacy flag and the American flag is all about destroying America and shaming America of its history, and to try to dislocate America from its roots so it can be a very easy feather to be flying there.
Mark, I think what you're saying is a very clear thing. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're hearing what Dr. Mark Christian is saying. And we've talked about it a lot. If an enemy of a nation is able to separate them from their roots, from their foundation, ours, a biblical foundation, our Constitution built on biblical Judeo-Christian foundation, if you can separate a people from that history, you will steal from them all that they have. This is what deception does. We're talking about the master deceivers, Islam. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about perhaps the greatest deception, and that is a statement. Do Muslims love Jesus more than Christians? That's what they're saying. Stay tuned. We'll talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Yesterday on this program, ladies and gentlemen, if you were able to listen, we had devoted pretty much the entire program to giving a little bit of a history of APN as a ministry, how it came into being, how Stand in the Gap Today, the program you're listening to now, is a adjunct, is a function of the American Pastors Network, and how we are devoted to the proclaiming of truth, encouraging the pulpits to preach it, but on this program, actually doing on a much larger scale, perhaps, what we encourage all pulpits to do, and that is to proclaim the truth of God's Word, applying biblical principles to the issues of the day. That's what we're doing. Now, if you weren't able to catch the program yesterday, I would encourage you, go to our website, standinthegapradio.com, or to your app, haven't downloaded, pick up your iPhone or your Android and enter the phrase, Stand in the Gap. Go to your store and enter then that phrase, Stand in the Gap, download the free app, and you can listen then to these programs in archive forms. We were just kind of talking with each other off air during this break, and I think it was Isaac said here on the call, he said, you know what? He said, the things we're talking about in the program today, you're not going to hear anywhere else, anywhere in the country. And that's true. Ladies and gentlemen, if you appreciate what you are hearing on this program, which is biblical truth, lovingly but boldly proclaimed, we need your help. We need your help to respond to the opportunities that are before us. If you didn't listen to the program yesterday, go back and pick it up. Listen to that program in its fullness. Walk alongside of us. Can I encourage you? Walk alongside of us in prayer and by your finances. So critical now as God has put before us a much bigger plateau and we want to respond. Walk with us. Invest in the kingdom here and above. All right, I'm going to go back now. I'm going to bring in our special guest, Dr. Mark Christian, Egyptian-born Muslim, formerly an imam because he knew the Quran and memorized vast passages of it, but now is helping to alert particularly American Christians and Americans generally to what's happening within that ideology here in this country. We're talking about deception here today on this program. Islam perhaps being one of the greatest deceivers because it's built right within their DNA coming out of the core of the Quran and the Hadith that were the writings of Muhammad. But this one, Mark, we've got to talk about because until you brought it up to me yesterday, I had not heard this specifically, that somebody had made the statement that actually Muslims love Jesus more than Christians. That's a flooring statement. Although I will say, Mark, I do have a picture of a billboard in Indiana that's been up for some time. The big billboard says, Jesus is Muslim. So it, what you said was very true to me. I want to go there. Tell us, who is saying that Muslims love Jesus more than Christians? And where do they come from on that? Because something is obviously very deceptive there.
absolutely deceptive. Here is the thing, and there is two different narratives that is going out about Jesus and Islam and terrorism. The first narrative is Muslims claim that Jesus was a prophet, and Muhammad and Jesus are very close to each other in their message. But Paul and the later Christians changed the message of Jesus to make it about the cross, which never happened. Jesus never died and so forth. So the deception is they're using the name of Jesus, but they are not using the character and the message of Jesus Christ and who he is. So the deception is I give you a name and absolutely mean different things in the minds of others. You know, Muslim says that Jesus is a Muslim, he's a prophet, he's not the son of God, he's not die on the cross, but they say, we love him. So the people who are, again, naive or ignorant, they take those statements and they say, see, Muslims are very good people, they are loving Jesus, so why the Christians are so against Muslims like the way they are? Obviously, Christians are the bad people over here. Well, this is a big deception. But the other story that has been going on, and I heard it like just a couple of weeks ago for the first time, and I had no idea how much it has been propagating for quite some time. If you or any of your listeners remember the 21 Christians who has been Egyptian Christians who has been killed and slaughtered by ISIS at the shores of Libya, and in that video that was a very heinous video and very bloody video, and you know many people didn't even watch it. ISIS fighters and ISIS, you know, propaganda in the video was mentioning a hadith of Muhammad, which is a saying of Muhammad talking about Jesus and so forth and his second coming. Again, those who are ignorant, those who are naive, those who are willing to sign up with the devil to defeat their own country and self-loathing will listen to this and they use it and say, see, ISIS is talking about Jesus. This is, means that ISIS is more close to Christianity more than to Islam. Well, this is another big deception. And I thought this is like unbelievable. No way. What are you talking about? And then I figured out that this is a narrative that has been going around in many of the left groups and, the very far left, let's put it that way, the Antifa guys, the it has been propagating in that area. I'm trying to find the nicest words to give to them, but it's very hard to do in nowadays. And they are saying that nonstop, and they are not looking at what the hadith is saying. It is not talking about Jesus in any way that Christians believe in. They're talking about the second coming of Jesus, that he will come in and he will destroy the cross, he will destroy the church, he will fight for the cause of Islam, and he will kill the Jews as well. So the hadith, you know, names Jesus in a deceptive way, but they are the far left using that hadith to say that our Christians are the one who are involved in ISIS and not the Muslims.
So, Mark, with all this deception that they're doing, I guess that we could be safe to say that we need to be careful that we define our terms when we're talking with somebody about this. And it seems that these terminologies are infiltrating the church in America that a lot of people don't realize. We think we have we're speaking things in common with Islam when we're not. And so could you maybe tell us how this is happening and how prevalent it is that even churches are accepting this deception that Islam, that Muslims believe in Jesus, thinking they believe in him like we do?
Because, this is a very good question. I think it is about time for us to be more educated and encourage others to be educated as well. The words, we do not take them for their face value. When the Muslim says we believe in the second coming of Jesus, or they say that we believe in Jesus, we have to ask, how does that second coming look like? And I encourage every Christian and every listener today to look at the hadith, which is a saying of Muhammad, that talks about the second coming of Jesus and how it looks like. It doesn't mean that they believe in the second coming, that they believe in the same Jesus or the same second coming as we believe in, because they believe in a complete different second coming and a complete different Jesus. And when Muslims say that we believe in Jesus, we have to go behind the words and to see, okay, who is Jesus that you believe in? How does he look like? What is his character? Because, again, words can be deceiving. But the meaning of the words and going deep into things is very, very important. The church needs to be aware about that, and every Christian out there needs to be aware about this deception that is going on.
Mark, the Apostle Paul said this in the last days, because there would be another Jesus preached, another gospel proclaimed, and another spirit. And I think we are living in those days, to be sure. Now, you've cited one example where Islam is working great deception with this belief in Jesus and the fact that they're looking for his return. Can you cite some other examples, maybe around some other cardinal fundamental doctrines of Christianity, such as God, truth, Christ, sin, Satan, where Islam is also perpetrating equal deceptions?
Absolutely. You know, every term that Islam uses that means something for, you know, people in America, equality or peace, Islam means completely different from the words that you understand. So, for example, peace, Islam has nothing to do with peace. The only peace that can Islam brings is when Islam become ruling over all the planet and, you know, Islam become the religion of all nations and Christianity and Judaism is gone. So when you say, you know, Islam is a religion of peace, yeah, you know, maybe it's going to be bringing peace, but peace by slaughtering everybody else who does not agree with it. That's different from our understanding of peace. And you go on down the list. What is, there is no such a thing as common ground or interfaith dialogue and all of those deceptive words that has been used lately in America. All of them means completely different from what Islam means about those words. And the idea that, you know, Christianity and Islam can be on the same page is very far from true, because Muhammad came in to preach a different message other than the message of Jesus Christ, and completely the opposite of it. I think when you bring Paul talking about that there is going to be another gospel other than the gospel of Jesus Christ going to be preached, and he said this in Galatians, his first book that he ever wrote, it is prophetic, because later on, a Quran, which is a completely different gospel, has been preached until today. And unfortunately, the churches wants to adopt the Quran as a real gospel, ignoring the warning of Paul that whoever going to preach a gospel other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, curse be on him.
Mark, you talked about Jesus. They believe in Jesus, but not the Jesus of the Bible. They believe Jesus as a human prophet. They do not believe that Jesus can be a son of God, because God can't have sons, correct? They believe in a Christ, but they believe in an antichrist compared to the biblical Christ. As you say, completely counterfeit deception that can destroy America if we don't wake up soon. That's what you're saying.
Absolutely. And what I'm encouraging people to do there, when somebody gives you a word, do not take it as it is, but dig into the meaning of that word before you make a judgment of, are we on the same page or not?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is information so very, very critical. I hope that you're writing down notes. And again, you can go to our website, listen to these programs again, standinthegapradio.com or on your app. And you can also participate with us. Tell us your thoughts. Donate. Help us participate and help us to further get this information out. You can do that. Go to the donate page on standinthegapradio.com. Or right off of your iPhone. You can go right there. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about the solution to deception. What is that solution? There is one.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
Brant, just read this news item about the two things that are stressing Americans out the most. Thought this was interesting. They say we're losing a record amount of sleep because of these two things. Number one, healthcare expenses. And the second thing, saving for retirement. The two biggest stressors. But what's remarkable? You can make a phone call right now and actually take action on both of these at once. Just call MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses, and it works beautifully. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 for your retirement every month. One call, two less things to stress about, and that can help you sleep better at night. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, before we go into our solution segment here today, I just want to remind all who are listening, you hear on this program certain promotions for certain things, the BJUPress.com promotion that we do that talks about Christian curriculum, biblical worldview integrated into Christian textbooks. No one does it better. No one does it better than BJU Press. We have that on here to encourage you as parents and grandparents to encourage your children to get a Christian education. Without it, we will not raise up a godly generation. With it, we will not, this nation will fall into bondage. It has to happen in the education. Utilize BJU Press, I'm sure, and MediShare. All of you out there, you no matter what the insurance you have, and with the failure of Obamacare to be passed yesterday, there's a real need. Go to and consider MediShare. Call that number, 844-45-BIBLE, 844-45-BIBLE, and ask them just to get an inquiry. Say, will it fit for me? There's no obligation. Go and pull up that number, 844-45-BIBLE, and see if that might in fact provide to you as you're listening a major help with your family or your business, even a small business. It could be God's answer for you. So I'll encourage you to go there. All right, man, we start out the program by saying that we're going to talk about deception. We talked about that Jesus told his disciples that in the end days, deception would be a leading indicator. We have said in submitting that really right now in our time, Islam, perhaps the greatest embodiment of deception in these days. Certainly it's a tool being used by the one world government that out of which will come the Antichrist. That one world global system is the same one that's at war with Israel, the United States, Christianity, the U.S. Constitution. It's all together. And if we don't understand it, we're going to miss what's actually happening. But the question is there a solution for deception? Dave, I want to go to you first, and just from a practical perspective, biblical perspective, in a general sense, because Islam's not the only deceiving element that's out there. They happen to be a major one that's very impactful, but in a general sense, give a few guidelines, if you could, for our listeners on how we can prevent being deceived in these days.
Sam, I'm going to go to Matthew 24, verse 4, where Jesus talked twice in one verse about deception. And he begins the verse by saying this, "Take heed that no man deceive you." Literally, the word there, take heed, it's the word that means look, see, open your eyes. In other words, don't walk about with your eyes closed. And what we've heard Dr. Mark Christian say today is, what the terminology that is used is not being used in Islam like it is used in Christianity. So open your eyes. Don't accept blindly would be a great synonym or synonymous way of saying this. Open your eyes. And upon what standard then do we open our eyes and determine what's right, what's wrong, what's deceptive, and what's not? It has to be according to God's word. Go to the Bible, see what the scripture has to say about who Jesus is or about any of these other issues or topics we're talking about on the program today, and open your eyes to what God's word has to say. see it for what it is. And Sam, that way deception can be avoided. Otherwise, Sam, even the Church of Jesus Christ is going to be a sitting duck for these incredible deceptions in our day.
Great foundational principles, Dave. Open your eyes. Don't accept blindly what's being told to you, and embrace the standard of absolute truth, God's Word. That's it. You do that, you will not be deceived. Isaac, let me go to you. The younger generation in this country are really seem to be susceptible to deception even greater, because they have, we know by the numbers, they have far fewer have a biblical worldview. Their level of respect for the flag, honor for those in authority, a lot of things are missing. What advice would you give to the millennial crowd who's listening in this regard? How do they stay away from deception?
Yeah, you know, Ephesians 5 says to walk in the light as children of light, and to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. And there's so much stuff out there that we could easily get into that we need to avoid. And then Paul says to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And so no matter what age you are, we need to be redeeming the time. I would encourage all of our listeners, especially if you're either someone like myself in my mid-30s or even younger, or if you're dealing with somebody who's a millennial, to use social media. We have so much on American Pastors Network, on our website, on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. It makes it so easy to follow us and then to just use those reposts to things that we're putting out there, because millennials are getting a lot of their news from social media. And when you put stuff out there, they will look at it and they'll read it a lot of times and put good information out there so that they can read what's right and what's true.
Isaac, very practical. Mark, let me go to you now. We've talked about Islam being the great deceiver. As a former Muslim imam, what is the best antidote for listeners who, as Dave would say, take heed if they got their eyes open, as Isaac said, walking in the light? How should and what can be perhaps the best recommendation for how we specifically avoid the deceptive elements of Islam, because it's all around us? What would you say?
The truth, going back to our roots, the Bible, Jesus Christ, those are the things that will keep us on the right path. You know, in our faith, we need to go back to the Word of God and to know who Jesus is and to be very intimate with Him, so nobody will deceive you by using words or names that is not true but deceiving. If we want to know about our country, we need to go to our founding fathers and need to look at the Constitution and the real people who spoke about the country and what the country, the great nation America means. Do not go be deceived and be led astray by words of people who are acting as activists, and they are far from it. You know, if you look at the people who are trying to destroy the nation, they are all using deception. They are using very important words and very words that is going to be easily, championed by the youth, but it's far from true, like progressiveness and liberty and all the kind of stuff that can actually mean something good, but they are using it for deception. So go back to the foundation of America and go back to the main foundation of our faith, the Word of God and who Jesus Christ is.
Well, I tell you, man, I heard some common themes, and we didn't talk about this beforehand, what you're saying. Mark, you're saying you've got to be anchored on the Word of God. That's what APN says, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to be anchored on the authority of Scripture. Truth is truth. And when I ask you, Mark, your first response, how do we specifically most effectively avoid the deception of Islam? Your first answer was one word, or actually two words,
truth.
The truth. The truth. Truth is what you said. And ladies and gentlemen, in a nation that's walked away from absolute truth, that's where we start getting our trouble. If there is truth, and there is, God's word, it's absolute. That's our standard. That's our anchor. We cannot avoid deception without knowing God's word and be anchored there. If we walk away and say one thing, be anchored in God's word. You've been listening now to Stand in the Gap today. And before we close the program here, we have a lot to go over. David, I'd like to go to you and ask you to close this program in prayer and ask that God's Holy Spirit would help provide that clarity so our people who are listening are not deceived.
Be delighted to, Sam. Father, thank you so much for Dr. Mark Christian. Thank you, Lord, for opening his eyes to the truth and him committing his life to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you now that he is a clarion spokesman for the truth. Bless and protect him. And then, Father, I pray you would lift the veil off the eyes of so many across our land that are being deceived and not being circumspect and looking about and trying to discern good from evil and using the standard of God's word to do so. Father, I pray this program would be blessed and expanded greatly. And I pray you'd bring aboard, Lord, people that would not just pray, but would also financially support this ministry for your glory and for the advancement of truth. I pray in Jesus' name.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us today. Our special guest, Dr. Mark Christian, his website, globalfaithinstitute.org. Visit us on the website, standinthegapradio.com.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.